Should we say yeah. Welcome back, everybody?
At the same time. Everybody.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back, everybody, to the fourth Adam Sandler podcast. It's been a while, but we're back, and we actually have a hot new Adam Sandler movie to talk about to you. Except I don't think it's new anymore. But last time we talked about the movie Airheads, and that was from 1992. And this time we're talking about a movie that's from more recent than
2023.
That, because he made a new movie. In fact, he's made two new movies since we...
Did he make Spaceman
it's
yet?
Weird, did it? I don't think he's made Spaceman. He made a cartoon, and I don't remember the name.
Oh, Leo. Yeah, that's right.
Leo, yeah. Leo the Lizard. That's coming next, yeah. I think.
Not actually a lizard. It's another... Some kind of... It's
what?
A species that's, like, related to lizards, but not actually a lizard.
Is lizard, like, a bug? Like, you know how people will sometimes say, oh, bugs, and that's actually an insect, but people will... And lots of... Tiny like spiders.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I do think that's true.
Aren't actually insects. So is lizard like everyone uses it colloquially?
I think so because you have like you know a bearded dragon or an anole or you know something like iguana.
And those aren't lizards.
I'm wrong because he's actually in the movie called Leo the Lizard. So never mind. I thought he wasn't a lizard.
But they're using it colloquially because he's not actually a lizard in the movie. They just call everyone calls him Leo the Lizard, but he's not actually.
He's
a lizard.
He's a Tuatara.
Oh.
Which, okay, so despite their close resemblance to lizards, they are part of a distinct lineage, the order Rhynchocephalia. The name Tuatara is derived from the Maori language and means peaks on the back. So it's not actually
That would
a
be
lizard.
A good bit in the movie if everyone's like, it's Leo the Lizard, and he's like, I'm not a lizard.
Yeah, yeah. And then they're like, okay.
Yeah.
It's cool.
All right. Anyway,
let me know.
We're not talking about Leo the Lizard. We're talking about You Are So Not Invited to My Bat Mitzvah. This is a movie that came out. Okay, I'll just get the date off for us all to end this curiosity. It came out on August 25th, 2023. So it did actually come out after we recorded the last episode that we did. And yeah, it's a movie. Adam Sandler is in it. Honestly,
So there was like a brief moment where we had really caught up. We could just relax, rest on our laurels, and then we got behind again. Now we're behind the eight ball.
It is weird though, in a way that we did catch up to his, like you would think, oh, we've been putting out episodes slower and slower, and it kind of matches out that like we caught up to him and now he's only putting out like two movies a year or something like that. But it is kind of perfect for us because that's not why we're putting out episodes slower and slower. We're just getting lazier and lazier.
I think what it is that he hit our peaks and his peaks kind of coincided. Now, his peak was through his 20s, 30s, 40s. Our peak was, I would guess, maybe 2019.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So
yeah.
He's slowly moving into a gradual retirement. Mm-hmm. And I think we are doing the same thing. Yeah. Not only with this podcast, but in our general lives, just like everything is kind of slowing down, you know, just taking a little bit longer in the mornings, you know, sitting there drinking our coffee.
Tell me about it. Yeah. Jeez. So you told me you watched this movie in small bits and pieces.
just
speaking
just
of
two
that.
Bits,
yeah. Oh, okay.
Two large. It's a long movie. It's longer than it. Maybe
it was. It did feel kind of long.
You'd be surprised at how long it is. So I had to split it up into two because I have a little baby now that I have to take care of. And it had nothing to do with the baby. It's just that I have to go to bed at like 9 p.m. or I feel like I'm dead. So
you have an early bedtime now because of baby.
I do. So I watched a little hour of it and then I watched the other hour of it recently. So. It's really fresh in my mind, and I remember everything. And if you have any questions, I can definitely answer them.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I watched it last weekend, actually. All in one go, too. I was just like, let's...
Okay.
I think I'm going to make it through this whole movie.
Good
one
deal.
Go. And
do you want to give us a synopsis, or do you want me to give a synopsis?
I'll try. I'll go for it. But as you probably... Anyone that's listened to more than a few episodes of this realizes, I don't remember anyone's name. I don't remember...
Buckle up.
Yeah. So I don't know the... characters' names, and honestly, I don't remember the names of Adam Sandler's daughters either.
We're also missing major plot points, so we're just gonna do our best here.
So I'll just open up Wikipedia. I always do anyway, and so now I'll know that this movie is actually about Stacy Friedman, who is listed as number 5 on the Wikipedia page, even though even though she's the main character.
She's the star.
And she's played by Sunny Sandler, which is one of Adam Sandler's daughters. As far as I know, he has 2 daughters. He might have more, but he has 2 daughters that kind of have been in some of his movies before, and those are Sadie Sandler and Sunny Sandler. Now, the reason I'm starting the synopsis with that is because I think that's one of the most important things about this movie, is that it's actually about his daughter, Stacy Friedman. Adam Sandler plays the dad, and he shows up here and there, but it's really Sunny Sandler's movie. She's the main character. She's a middle school student. She's going to have a bat mitzvah. That is a Jewish ceremony where it's similar to a bar mitzvah.
Judaism is a monotheistic religion that started.
Anyway, so she's going to have a bat mitzvah. Coming of age ceremony. Important thing for people of that faith. And is it 13? Because that's what the bar mitzvah, I think, is, right? Bar mitzvah 13?
I think it's
13.
Also 13,
for
it's 13.
The bat mitzvah. All right.
Yeah. And her, so can I just round out the, like, family?
Please,
which,
absolutely,
So the mom is played by Idina Menzel, or, God, as John Travolta once said, and I had to look up and show Greer the other day after we were watching the movie, Adele Dazeem. That's what he called her, and he was so confident in that horrible mispronunciation. But
what was that?
This is like, I mean, this could have been like 2010.
What was the content? Was it like an award show or something?
It was at the Grammys, okay. And he's like, now to perform "Let It Go" from the movie Frozen,
right,
or something.
That was her.
The wickedly talented Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem.
It's so good. If you haven't seen it, go look it up. So she plays the mom. Adam Sandler plays the dad, and then the older sister is played by Sadie Sandler, Adam Sandler's other daughter, which is just, I feel like this is a really important milestone for us to see these girls who've had like cameos in a variety of Adam Sandler movies over the last 15 years, I guess, show up and be really the stars of the show, and both of them kind of playing a larger role than even Adam Sandler does in this movie.
Could be a passing of the torch. If their career takes off, does this mean we have to watch all the Sunny Sandler movies on our podcast?
Dude, I would love to see a remake of Billy Madison.
That would be so good.
Sunny Sandler, and she's doing the gibberish. And I feel like he has moved so far beyond that as like a brand that they would never. They might do a Big Daddy version where, like, she is raising
Big
a little
mama,
kid.
Yeah.
But, Big Mommy.
Big
Mommy, but,
Big Mama is a different someone else's thing.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe she'll do a reboot of Big Mama's House.
Yeah. She can do anything. The world is kind of her oyster at this point.
I think so, yeah.
She also doesn't have to act. If she listens to this, I just want, you know, You can do anything you want.
Yeah, start a podcast.
Yeah, you can start a podcast. Yeah, totally.
Everything is as meaningful and lucrative as anything else.
Yeah,
so exactly. Just whatever you find, just find it, and that will be the thing you do, and you're fine.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. Good advice.
Thanks.
Tell my own children that, if I had any. Okay, so yeah, it's about this... this like middle school girl who is getting ready for her bat mitzvah. She has a friend. The friend is
Lydia,
played by Samantha Lorraine. Maybe her first movie. I don't know. She doesn't have a Wikipedia page.
I'm guessing that's actually literally her friend, because some of
maybe
the
real friend
footage
in
the film is like of them as kids, and it's like those are the same people.
Really? You know it? That's cool.
I have, like, that was just my knee-jerk thought.
That's interesting. So maybe it's actually just her friend, but anyway.
Like, the same thing that Adam Sandler's been doing for 20 years. Let me just put my friends in my movies.
Yeah. Hmm. And it says, that's, yeah, interesting.
Oh, it says here they're not friends.
Oh, you see, oh.
No, I'm just kidding. I just,
It says here that she's, okay, so in the, on Wikipedia, and I did notice this in the movie, it says that she's Stacy's half-Jewish, half-Hispanic best friend. And the dad that we reveal later is played, her dad is played by Luis Guzman. And I did notice that, and I did think, that's very specific. And I just thought they were like, oh, they're just showing that, like, you know, we all kind of have all sorts of parts of our identities, and, like, there are people, there are Jewish people who also have, like, Hispanic members of their family. And, like, I thought it was just kind of doing, like, a look at the modern world we live in, where we all kind of have parts of all of us.
Yeah.
As part of us.
I was just like, oh, thank God, somebody... Yeah. Funny is in this movie.
Right. But anyway, but I was struck by how specific that was, and maybe that's why, maybe it's really her half Hispanic friend, and then they're like, you're Jewish now for this movie, so you can be in the movie.
Yeah.
Maybe she
is
half Jewish. I don't know. Anyway, I'm getting distracted. The important thing, Lydia Rodriguez Katz, that's the character's name, and she is her friend, and the movie is basically about their friendship, I would say. They're getting ready for the bat mitzvah. The bat mitzvah is made out to be this huge deal in people's lives. It's this big party that all the kids have. And or, like, first they do the ceremony, and then they have a big party with, like, all the kids from school come to the party, and there's all this, you know, little, like, dramas, and there's, like, the guy that you have a crush on is there, and all this and that. Stacey Friedman, Sunny Sanders character, has a crush on this boy,
Andy
Goldfarb.
Great name.
Yeah. Played by Dylan Hoffman. Dustin Hoffman's kid. No, I'm just kidding.
makes sense.
His grandkid, I guess, but
he's gonna star in the reboot of The Graduate.
Doesn't have a Wikipedia page, so I don't know anything about him.
I'm telling you, they're just all friends.
Yeah.
They gotta be.
Yeah. So he's there. So they have a crush on him. He's like a cool soccer player. He calls everybody bro. He's, he was kind of a fun character that we can talk about. Because he's, if this is a real kid who's just playing himself, I don't want to say that he's incredibly stupid, like dumb, and like vapid, but they were playing that up a little bit, and the actor must know that was part of his role in the movie, was like there's a part where something's happening, and then he just runs past, like, something dramatic is happening, and he just runs past, like, kicking a soccer ball.
Yeah.
They were playing it up. Like, he's like, kind of a dumb kid. And I thought he did that really well, and it was funny.
He did, yeah. Throughout the whole
and
thing.
And so it's kind of also funny, because, you know, the girls have, like, a crush on this, like, cool soccer player who's, like, just really, like, shallow and kind of dumb. And they all learn a lesson from it, I think. But anyway, so, yeah, he's there, and, like, they have this, or Sonny has a crush on him, or Stacy has a crush on him. And there's also these cool, rich girls, I think, that are part of it. And anyway,
it's got all of the, like, cliche...
Yeah.
High school rom-com things in it,
yeah.
But it's just for junior high. But it really does, like, follow the template.
Yeah.
Like, we are best friends, but there's something that's going to cause a rift between us,
yeah.
And then that betrayal will widen, and we'll stop being friends until the end of the movie, and in the meantime, we'll, like, learn some life lessons. And
damn, you just summarized the movie. Maybe I can stop.
No, I was summarizing Superbad.
Oh, okay. Yeah, for sure. No, I mean, it is. It's like the template of, like...
And probably, like, all of the John Hughes movies.
Friendship is important.
I mean, well, they're maybe a little...
Friends are important.
More sophisticated.
So anyway, there's a rift in their friendship. It has to do with jumping off a cliff.
On your period.
Sidebar, the cliff that... So Stacy Friedman jumps off the cliff on kind of, like, people egg her on, but then she's on her period, so her her tampon falls out, or like her pad falls out.
Her pad, yeah.
And then they're like making fun of her a little bit for that. And then she, her friend doesn't defend her enough. The important thing, though, that I want to point out is this the same cliff, the ridge, that's in Grown Ups 2?
Oh, shit. Oh.
I thought it was. And then I was like, is this part of the Grown Ups universe? It's my question.
Okay, is this part of the Grown Ups universe? What is Adam Sandler's name in this movie?
Grown Up Number One. No, it's Danny Danny Friedman.
He plays Lenny Fetter in Grown Ups.
But remember how in Grown Ups he's like, yeah, don't get me mixed up with my twin brother, Danny.
Oh, that's true. Who changed his last name because he hated me so much. Yeah, I remember that.
I feel like they did that just for us, honestly.
I think that's right. And that's the kind of Easter egg listeners are coming to us for. Yeah. And I'm glad we dropped it early to remind people that this is the kind of the kind of stuff you're gonna get.
Yeah, totally.
You're welcome.
So anyway, they so that happens. They're mad at each other. Then Lydia kisses Andy Goldfarb at a party. So then Stacy is really mad at her, and then she makes a mean video about her of embarrassing
clips. Well, she does a
clips.
Bunch of stuff. Yeah.
There's other stuff,
she's
too,
like,
yeah,
really, really mean. But they have this pact that Lydia is going to help Stacy write her speech at her bat mitzvah.
Yeah.
And Stacy's going to help
It's bat
Lydia.
Mitzvah, not bat mitzvah. I'm sorry. I sound like an idiot. Bat mitzvah.
Well, at least you can say bar. I mean,
that's for,
you're getting close.
That's for the fellas.
Yeah.
Bat mitzvah.
And then Stacy's going to help Lydia with her entrance video. But then Stacy really, to me, kind of goes off the deep end about this.
Yeah.
And is like, I'm going to just be a total jerk to my friend and make up lies about her and try to steal Andy away from her. And I was just, for one, I was not shipping Stacy. It's like something teens say, shipping. Standing. I was not standing Stacy and Andy at any point in this movie. And so to see her then like try to get with him, I was like, GTFO, girl, don't do this. And so that's something
nice. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. No, okay, yeah. So she, like, they do have a little romance, like, sort of, and they make the video. Oh, and Stacy makes a video. I was just kind of cutting to the chase a little bit here.
Oh, yeah. She makes this horrible, like, really mean
video. It's all this embarrassing
video that,
like,
actually,
that they made, yeah.
As we were watching, Greer was like, it's like a bunch of stuff that, like, teenage girls would say at sleepovers.
Yeah.
You know, really embarrassing things that they would never want anybody to say or show.
Yeah.
But, like, they'd all recorded these, like, home videos of themselves doing silly stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Greer was like, that is absolutely what teenage girls talk about. Like, that is just so spot on, which I don't have experience with that. So I was like, okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
That's interesting, because some of the people on Reddit who were also teenagers, I guess. I looked at like a Reddit thread about this.
Oh, no.
And it was kind of interesting. People were, some youngsters, I know they were youngsters because they were like, I'm 14 on it.
Okay.
And they said, and they were offended by that. And they were like, people, nobody talks like that. So I don't know. And I was like, because when I watched it, I totally bought it. I was like, yeah, like, kids are kind of gross with each other. That's just part of, like, and, like, we typically think, of course, boys are, like, making jokes about farting and stuff, but then what you realize as a boy later is, like, oh, girls are the same way. They're also gross, and they, like, make gross jokes with each other and stuff, but.
Yeah, yeah.
But not according to this 14-year-old
on
Reddit.
Well, this is interesting, so because,
like,
if you think about it, Greer's perspective might more closely align not with, like, Sandy's experience or Sunny's experience.
Yeah.
Is it Sandy Friedman? What's her name?
Which one? Sunny.
The main character?
Stacy.
Stacy Friedman.
Yeah.
Stacy Friedman's experience, like, as an actual 13-year-old, but the writer's experience as, like, someone. So this is based on a novel that was written in, like, 2005.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, by an adult who grew up kind of more in line with our experiences, right. Whereas like I could see that teenagers today are like, I don't have sleepovers with my friends. This was totally unrealistic.
I don't have friends. Yeah, for sure.
All the people at my school are trolls and NPCs.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so I totally bought that though, watching. I was just like, yeah, of course. They're like goofing Same, off. Yeah. And like, it was one of those things where it's like, oh, they're trying to give a more authentic look at what being like a kid is like, which is kind of gross.
Yeah,
there's some gross. Like gross stuff to it.
It's a gross time.
It's just disgusting, honestly. So
it shouldn't happen.
Yeah, it should not. Anyway, she makes this video, but then she's like, she's not really planning to send it as the clip, or maybe she's thinking about it but she doesn't go through with it.
She keeps delaying sending it to Lydia because she's like, this I think realizing far. This would be
yeah.
nuts to send her, and I don't want to hurt her that bad.
But then her mom, I guess, I forget what the catalyst for this is, but her mom is
so
yeah.
Lydia's mom, you mentioned this, played by Jackie Sandler, shows up and says, hey, I was in the neighborhood and I kept reaching out to Stacy about the video and she hasn't given it to me. And then Stacy's mom is like, oh yeah, I can take care of that. I'll send it. And so somehow her mom has like access to her computer. I just feel like the whole family dynamic led me to believe that they would not have access to her laptop because they, you know, give her a lot of
space.
There's a discipline issue maybe in the house. No, just kidding. But, so she gets on the laptop and sends the video to Lydia's mom, and Stacy's mom doesn't watch the video, and Lydia's mom doesn't watch the video, and no one watches it until
they show it.
And it's a really fucked up, embarrassing video
yeah.
that is shown right before Lydia's entrance at her bat mitzvah.
Yeah.
So her bat mitzvah is ruined, and she runs away, and to me, this would be the final straw. We can no longer be friends.
That's what Lydia thinks, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But through life lessons...
Are you just going to tell the rest of the plot?
Oh, I don't know. Should I?
I don't really care. I mean, just...
They make up.
They make up.
It's okay.
You can do... I mean, they make up through, like, a religious epiphany, basically.
Yeah. Is that what it...
Stacy has something like a religious epiphany.
Right.
Yeah,
she... Yeah, pretty nuts.
Maybe think maybe our next podcast series should be teenage rom-coms. Or, like, tween rom-coms.
Okay.
Like, 10 to 13.
Yeah. Rich text full of things to talk about.
Can I read, I don't know if it's the right time or not, but I was looking at the book. Because
okay.
at first
yeah,
I was
totally.
Like, this, I couldn't find the book.
Okay,
and
I have something to say about the book too, but yeah, go for it.
Okay, let me just read the library school journal, the school library journal review.
Okay.
Which is not nice, I'll preface
but we can
kind of talk about whether we align with it or not. So it summarizes the novel, which sounds about the same as the book, the movie. And then it says, unfortunately, this one reads like bad reality TV. While the author tries to be hip, her writing appears to be little more than one large advertising campaign for designer label merchandise. In a poor imitation of Judy Blume's Margaret Rosenblum's protagonist speaks to God. Okay, God, we really seriously, without a doubt, need to have a one-on-one here. Where are you? While it is realistic that the 12th year of a Jewish girl's life is stressful and that many cannot fully appreciate the religious concept behind this ceremony, Rosenblum fails to create a rounded character who grows or awakens to at least some of the values and meaning behind the ritual. Instead, Stacy is flat and shallow and, in a sitcom-like climactic scene, realizes the importance of the day and makes an apologetic cell phone call to Kelly in the middle of her speech. She then resumes an ad-lib version of her understanding of the meaning of sacrifice and giving of yourself. Sarah Darrow Lipman's Confessions of a Closet Catholic provides a much better view of Jewish values from a preteen's witty perspective. And that's from Rita Sultan, a youth services consultant in West Bloomfield, Missouri. So thanks, Rita. I think there's like some assumptions being made in that review about like what makes a good story and what makes a good character and what we should expect from 12-year-olds, but I thought it was worth sharing.
Yeah. And so, yeah, absolutely. What I find really interesting about the book, which I haven't read the book, but when I was looking at into the book, so it's put out by this company called Alloy Entertainment. Alloy Entertainment
is the devil.
It makes books. Alloy Entertainment, which is a subsidiary of Warner Brothers or a unit of Warner Brothers Television, makes, they put out books specifically created to then turn into movies and TV shows. So like the book, it wasn't like, so when I was looking at the book, it seemed like it wasn't like, oh, somebody's like, I really need, here's my story that I have to tell and I'm going to write a book about it and get it published. Yeah. And then it becomes popular enough that they're, or seems promising enough that a studio is like, oh, we're going to buy this and we're going to make a movie out of it. They were like, we want to make some kind of franchise. Like, we want to make a movie or a TV show for, like, teens and tweens. And it's supposed to be a bestseller. Like, it was all very orchestrated. And this one actually just took them longer to figure out exactly how to do that. So they put the book out. The book came out in 2005. So that was a little longer, it looks like, than some of their other ones. Other ones they've done were Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, Gossip Girl, Vampire Diaries, Pretty Little Liars, The Lion Game, The 100, The Click, The Lux, The A-List. So maybe some of you have heard of those. I haven't heard of any of those. So it sounds like they're a failure as a company.
Apparently, you can view them through some medium called TV.
Yeah, total bust on what they were trying to do. But apparently, that's what they were trying to do. So I thought that was interesting. The other thing that was interesting is the author of the book, Fiona Rosenblum, her actual name is Amanda Stern, which I thought was interesting because of just like, I don't know, is she, I don't know what, like, it seems like they're making, trying to change her name for that to make it more
Jewish
sounding.
Yeah.
Is that like, is Stern, because I don't know what Stern, like, what Stern would be necessarily, but Rosenblum is like very readable Jewish name
to me.
So it seems like they're doing that, which the author may, so I don't know, the author may be Jewish. I don't really know.
That's interesting. I mean, it's like a reversal of what actors and comedians and writers
have
did
done historically.
Throughout.
So I'm not sure what's exactly, I find that kind of interesting. And so yeah, anyway, it seems like, you know, not that the author Amanda Stern isn't putting some like basing the book on experiences or trying to do a good job or whatever, but it seems a little more orchestrated than you would expect, just being like, oh, based on the book, the YA novel. It's like, they're always trying to, this was kind of always their end goal here.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't care about stuff like that, but...
No, it's just a bummer.
Yeah.
It's like, everything sucks anyway, but it sucks when it's so...
So transparent.
Obvious.
Yeah,
so transparent.
A product. Like, it's transparently a product that they're making.
Yeah.
So the other thing that I thought was interesting, tonally, I thought it was kind of interesting because story-wise, it's completely from the perspective of Stacey Friedman, like the you know, pre-adolescent or adolescent girl, like the plot points and everything is like, oh, am I gonna get with my crush? Oh, am I gonna make up with my friends? What does it mean to become older? Like, I don't want to minimize the trials of that age. It's actually really important and really like can be really upsetting and like confusing and stuff, but it's very much from the perspective of you're in it. So as an adult, you're like, you'll probably make up with your friend. But at the time, you're like, I don't know. And so it's definitely from that perspective. But some of the humor to me did seem from the writers and Adam Sandler's perspective of like, look at what kids are doing.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a little interesting. Like, there's a few jokes. I can't quite pinpoint them, but that seemed like they were making fun of what kids of that age are up to, which I thought was interesting because it was like, oh, who exactly is the movie for? Like, are they making fun of, like, kids these days, or are they, like, is it supposed to be for kids these days?
Yeah, yeah.
Probably a little bit of both.
I think so. I mean, I will say there were plenty of moments that I chuckled at, you know, watching, and just little moments that worked for me for whatever reason. One of them that I wrote down was when Stacy and her mom are going shopping for a dress for her bat mitzvah, and at one point Stacy's mom was like, oh, you look so good in this, and she's like, in kind of a business dress kind of outfit, and she says, I look like the lady at school who pulls kids out of class when their parents have been in a car accident. And which is like random, and
yeah,
you know, but you can kind of imagine. And her mom is like, how often is that happening?
Yeah.
And I think Stacey says like a lot or enough or something, and it was just like a fun little moment. And I guess that kind of aligns with what you're saying. Like, I felt like there were several moments where it kind of took what a teen would say in a moment and then like just turned up the volume a little bit, like, oh, this is absurd. No kid would actually say this, but this highlights how dramatic they can be about stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I kind of like that was, I mean, it's unfair of me to watch a movie about a teenager's life and be like, oh God, this is so inconsequential.
Right. Yeah.
In the same way that like, I wouldn't want someone to read my memoir and be like, oh, this is so consequential. Why are you worrying about this?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But I was reminded of this great little moment from a Family Guy episode 20 years ago or so. And I don't like Family Guy particularly, but in this moment it was great because it was like showing someone watching One Tree Hill, and it was the theme song for One Tree Hill. And it was like a guy standing by a lake, and the song was, high school is such a serious thing. These problems matter. And
yeah.
I just thought, like, that's what every like teenage rom-com is trying to convince us of.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, well, when you're in it, the subjective experience, it definitely matters. But it was wow, this is a story about really wealthy teenagers
who have nothing
to worry about except what they're going to wear and if people are going to like them.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And yeah, and it's always interesting. Yeah, that was interesting. I definitely noticed, like, I was just like, all these people have to be wealthy, right? Like,
yeah,
that's who we're looking at, like their houses and their stuff, and just the whole like, our bat mitzvah has to be a party where we hire people to caterers and DJs and rent out halls and stuff. Like, I don't know much about like this stuff really.
It's like the My Super Sweet 16 version
right
of a bat mitzvah.
I assume that like people of lesser income classes would, their bat mitzvah might be like, oh, like they even say like, oh, it used to be just we go down to the basement and we like eat like egg salad sandwiches or something.
I may be like judging it too much, but there's an element to me, I'm like, well, maybe people who don't have the money or people who are more devout / their devotion to their faith manifests in a different way wouldn't think to pair this religious coming of age with a huge rave.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically.
Or it was like it looked like a middle school dance, and they like, let's throw one every time somebody turns 13.
Basically,
like,
the
didn't we have enough of those?
Hotel Transylvania.
Yeah, yeah,
a
totally,
big
yeah.
dance party. Everybody's there.
Everybody's there. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. So I don't know. So the class thing was interesting. It is interesting too that when we think about how like inconsequential it is, and then the application of like, I don't know, like Judaistic, like belief about like faith and God being a, which is like, I don't know, you know, you kind of think these religions are like kind of engineered to, you know, to take a strictly like non-religious perspective of it. Not to step on anybody's toes who's listening to this potentially, but
Yeah, say more. Let me hit record real quick on this tape recorder. Say more.
Okay. Right. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, they're kind of engineered for, like, you know, I don't know, like, people in, like, living in, like, the desert in, like, a very, like, tough time of, like, famine. And it's like, we have to hold on to our belief that God will eventually provide us with food so that we don't die.
Yeah.
And then to be like, and also the beauty of it is that that religious thought can also be applied to, what if my friend doesn't like me for a while?
Yeah. I better figure this out. I need to have a talk with God about it. Yeah. Well, man, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
In the book Debt by the anthropologist David Graeber, he talks about, he argues that monotheistic religions developed, and the reason they're so patriarchal is that they developed in response to, like, nomadic people's response to the city life. In the city, you could fall into debt more easily, and you could fall into corruption more easily, and people were literally bought and sold. And so, like, nomadic, these, like, the origins of these faith, these faiths are, like, a response to that that tries to, like, find value in human life that isn't transactional.
Yeah.
And then to see it, like, mapped on to a world where, like, oh, everything is transactional, including God. And, like, the whole reason we have to do this is because everybody else did it before, and we need to conform to what everybody else is doing. And, like, no one actually has, like, an intimate relationship with God. We just go to church on Sundays, or we go to Sabbath, you know, where we observe the Sabbath, or whatever it is. And this is speaking to, now I'm realizing that this movie, like, triggered two different aspects of my own teenage self, which was my low income and my devotion to God as a Christian when I was a teenager. And it's like the two things that frustrated me the most were, as a teenager, as far as, like, my peers, I feel like the two things that frustrated me the most were, like, people who were wealthy and people who went to church on Sundays but didn't actually, like, think or talk any deeper than that about God. I was a weird kid, so...
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Yeah.
I would not have wanted to hang out with you.
No one did. Which, that was the other unbelievable thing, that she would have friends and that they would have sleepovers. You know, I'm with the 14-year-old on Reddit. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. What is this? Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah, that is interesting. No, it is. Yeah, that's... But, yeah, so... I did also, though, like, it did make it more interesting, the specifics of, like... Like, applying that, like, it could just be any generic, like, oh, there's a party coming up, and, oh, you, it could be a sweet 16, it could be something like that.
Yeah.
So the specifics of having it be a bat mitzvah and being about, like, Jewish people, like, upper middle class to maybe even above that Jewish people, did make it, like, it was a specificity that made it a little bit more compelling, I think, than just any generic group of people.
Compelling, but then simultaneously, like, tell me something
about
Judaism. Tell me something about her faith. If that's the, like, ceremony that this is all rooted in, I feel like there was just, like, a total absence of any exploration, even for kids. Like, show something. I guess there's, like, this little thing at the end where she realizes that, that, like, service is something that maybe you do for people who aren't already your pals.
Yeah.
And it's something that you do, and it really does involve a sacrifice of some kind. So I think there is a little bit of that, but I don't know.
That made me think of my favorite explicitly Christian, one of my favorite, like, explicitly religious, in this case Christian, mostly to kids, like, medias, actually, which is the Charlie Brown Christmas special. And I say that because I am not religious. I'll just go ahead and say that. I'm not a practicer of faith. I actually am critical of most of them in various ways. I don't have to go into huge details, but I'm also interested. And I think that things that humans come up with or don't come up with, not trying to step on any stuff, but whatever the origins of religions are, the things that humans have, there's both things to critique, and also it's good to understand, like, what is the value people are getting out of that? Like, what actually good, if it's endured that long, maybe it's not all garbage. Maybe there's some root of truth or something that is good in that. I think that's interesting to think about, too.
Yeah.
So it's not, like, black and white. But anyway, one of my favorites is the Charlie Brown Christmas special where Linus just goes off. Charlie Brown's like, what is this anyway? What's the meaning of Christmas? And Linus goes off and does a little Bible passage, and it's very, like, tastefully implemented into the thing. Like, oh, this is about something more than, this really is about something more than, I don't know, whether you got a good Christmas tree or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so thinking, that just made me think of that. Like, maybe they were trying to do that with this, but they didn't quite really sell it that much.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it quite working for you, maybe?
Yeah. You also got me thinking now, if there is a God, do you think he's listening? I mean, if he knows everything.
He has to.
Does he listen to this?
It's literally his job.
I feel so bad. I feel like this would be the, like, straw that broke the camel's back, and God would be like, I can't take anymore. I set up this whole thing called reality so that I would know everything that happened, but some of the shit that's happening
is
just so bad.
Yeah. What, the podcast?
Yeah.
Our podcast. Like,
he can't turn it off.
Yeah.
Every new episode. I mean, he's already heard of them all. He's outside of time.
I gave you a gift of life.
And this,
like,
is what
and he's not mad at Adam Sandler, because even though he makes bad movies, he's creating. He's literally, like, taking something that didn't exist and creating. And then there's us, and we're not doing that. We're just sitting here mocking someone else who's doing this, like, divine work of, like,
this is like a glorified fidget spinner.
Yeah, right, yeah. Just like, look God's at them. Like, they don't even like his movie. Watch a movie you like, you idiots. I made you mortal because so you would appreciate the time you have, and you're not even doing that.
Oh, man.
Sorry, big man.
Of all the things I didn't do because I was afraid of going to hell, and this is the thing that's going to get me there.
And hell is just an endless schedule of the Adam Sandler podcast. We're already there, man.
I'm just practicing.
Yeah, I don't know. It was an interesting movie to kind of, like, think about, like, what am I going to say about it? Because to me, it did feel very much like, oh, I'm not really the audience for this, which you could argue is true of most of the movies we've talked about, but in a very visceral way, which maybe is just because I feel like I worry now, like, I'm at the age where I worry that if I'm too hard on, like, media that is for a younger generation, I'm going to be the old man who's like,
yeah, right.
Ah, you kids, you should watch Airheads with Brendan Fraser. That had real music in it. They played guitars.
It certainly looked like they were.
Not this whatever pop crap. TikTok, what's that? Meh. Like, I don't want to be that guy, even though I think we all must accept that we eventually become that guy.
You do, yeah, and, you do become that guy.
But at the same time, like, I was just like, yeah, this movie's not for me, so, like, what do I say exactly? But also, I feel like it wasn't, there are probably better ways to do this than the movie
did. Yeah, like, I mean, yeah, it's tough. Because, like, I was thinking of something like Lady Bird, which is also, I mean, it's definitely not for, it's not for the people who are Lady Bird's age, mm-hmm. in the same way that this movie is for the people that are Stacy's age.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is just a more sophisticated movie, and adults watched it and appreciated it and enjoyed mm-hmm. it. But I feel like there's stuff in there for that age as well. Mm-hmm. And with this one, it just felt like, I don't know, yeah.
And I was thinking of the movie Eighth Grade, which, similar thing. I don't know that is for eighth graders exactly, but I think it would be fine for an eighth grader to watch and maybe see their experience represented in some way. I thought it was a pretty good movie.
I just think it'd be cool to see one where it's like a guy and he's like in his late 30s and he's like trying to make podcasts and live his life and stuff, and it's really hard, and it just talks about how hard that is, and like tastefully, and there's a little bit of humor here and there.
Oh yeah,
some laughs, there's some tears, and then at the end though, he learns a lot. He doesn't need to learn anything. Everybody else learns something of the important
about,
and he's okay.
About, yeah, that they should appreciate him more, probably.
Uh-huh, yes, yes.
That sounds like a good movie. They don't make good movies very often anymore, is what I've discovered, but that would be a good one, yeah.
Yeah. That's just one I've been thinking about that I wish would be made.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I kind of, I, you know, have a few things that I could say about the movie, but I kind of, I don't know that I need, there's any more that I need to say about the movie. Have we said enough? I'm wondering.
I don't know. The one thing I did, the other thing I wanted to make sure I did add about this. Well, it's just, I did, right before we did it, I did watch a blooper reel.
Oh.
And I did feel like I got the sense, like, one other aspect of this that is worth just appreciating is, like, it is a kid, like, making a movie with her dad. And, like, you did get more of a sense of that in the, like, they seemed like they're having fun. And, like,
that's cool.
And, like, I don't know. Like, that's the other reason, I guess, like, yeah, it's just kind of a frivolous, like, here it is, what's kind of the point.
But that's been the case for Adam Sandler movies for years. And it's, the point is to, like, hang out with people.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just has the random ability that he can hang out with people and record it, and then people spend millions of dollars, you know, give him millions of dollars. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
I feel like I don't want to fault him for that.
Yeah,
yes, go hang out with your friends. And if your daughters can do that too and have a good time, and, like, you're not hurting anybody. You're just making this dumb movie.
That is always our conclusion, I think.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't like the movie, but I like that you had fun.
I'm glad you had fun. I didn't, but I'm so glad someone did.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will say, we didn't talk about this at all, but, like, Adam Sandler, I went into this thinking this was going to be, he was going to be a much bigger presence in the movie, and he's really a supporting actor. Like, he's in it, but he's... definitely takes a back seat. He has a couple moments that I thought were good. He, obviously, like in every single movie he does, he has a good yelling bit where he just yells. And then there's this great, I thought it was a funny moment where they're out shopping, Stacy and her mom run into Lydia and her mom. It's really awkward. Luis Guzman is there. Guzman is there. It's the first time we see him. And he says, yeah, we're getting a divorce, and we find that out. And then they leave, and Jackie Sandler, Lydia's mom, turns to Luis Guzman and says, do you, you know, why can't you be a more checked-in father? Like, Stacy's dad does everything, you know, Adam Sandler's character. He does everything. He's such an amazing person and dad. And Luis Guzman is like, yeah, let me just direct your attention over here. And you see Adam Sandler is just sleeping on, like, a little, like, where you would try shoes on or something. He's just, like, curled up sleeping there. And they wake him up. So that's, like, funny. But then they wake him up, and he's like, oh, you guys are done? You guys are done already? And she's like, yeah, let's go. Stacy and her mom. And he's like, can we get ice cream? Did you guys already get ice cream? And I just felt like it was such a good little, like, bewildered dad moment of, I don't want to lose out on this opportunity. You told me there would be ice cream if I went with you, and I'm afraid that you ate it without me.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You kind of had to be there with this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Just not an Adam Sandler bit, but a bit that I thought was funny. Though I guess I only thought it was funny because it flatters my tastes in some way. Damn it. Anyway, the older sister and her friend keep watching movies on their phone, like horror movies, and then these guys keep coming to try to talk to them and recommend movies to them, other horror movies, and they're always like, oh god, we've seen it. And then, so, like, the first one I think is Evil Dead 2, or it's the Leprechaun, one of the Leprechaun movies. The really silly Leprechaun movies from the 80s and 90s, but they're like, god, we've seen it. And then later you see them, like, watching it, or like, so you want to go see that movie they were talking about?
Right. Yeah.
And, yeah, I thought that was kind of funny.
That happens a couple times, yeah. And then at the end, they're like all sitting together watching a movie, and I was a little bit like, okay, I needed a little bit more from this subplot to see what changed, because I thought they didn't like the guys.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see the movies.
I think maybe they did, but I don't know. I'm okay with it with not being delved into. It lets you create your own story. Were they just playing with them the whole time, or did they realize, wow, these are really good movies? These movies,
it's a bit like a choose your own adventure.
Yeah. Wow, these movies that are actually from Adam Sandler and also podcast host Chris's generation are actually way better than my Zoomer shit. Cool. Wow.
My fucking Zoomer shit.
Gen X actually had the best stuff. It turns out.
Who would have thought?
That's so cool.
Nirvana, Whoa! Going Overboard, Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore. Yeah, you're welcome. The new greatest generation.
Yeah, I'm not Gen X. I'm a millennial, but I was raised on that stuff. So look up, just like, damn.
We're old millennials, though, aren't we? Well, you're considered.
I'm like right. I think I'm right in the middle.
Okay, I'm an old millennial.
Yeah.
I'm like, I love Pearl Jam. But I also love Backstreet Boys.
Damn. Are you sure you're not just wishy-washy?
Yeah.
You're easily influenced by...
I'm also that. I love that.
The glitz and glamour of the big... of mass media.
Well, I just feel like if everybody likes it, it has to be good.
That's... Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
If it wasn't good, not everybody would like it.
That's such a good point.
Yeah.
That's such a good point. Yeah.
Thanks.
I don't know. That's probably all I really had to say about it all.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing I want to do now is just burn my eyeballs out. No, I want to just look up and see what Adam Sandler is up to next, because, I feel like every day there's like a new, like, oh, new development. He's got this coming out, or he's going to do, he's got a popcorn brand. So it's looking like we have... Leo,
yeah,
and then we have Spaceman. Actually, hasn't come out yet. It's in post production. I wonder what's
that'll be kind of an interesting one, with like. A...
Yeah, I think so. It's written by Colby Day, based on the 2017 novel Spaceman in Bohemia. Yeah, I think that could be really cool. I love movies about space. So
yeah,
always.
I love movies about men.
Yeah, so men and space, can't beat it.
Can't go wrong.
And it says Spaceman is an upcoming American science fiction drama, not an upcoming American science fiction teenage rom-com. So
God damn it.
That's, I mean, I was kind of excited about
that.
You're
excited about that. Oh, okay,
yeah, but.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's better.
And it's going to be on Netflix.
Okay.
Oh, March 1st.
Oh, all right. Well, we got
to see.
We
okay.
Some catching up.
Oh, this is great.
Guess.
Okay,
yeah.
So we'll hit Leo, in April, and then we'll do right. Spaceman in
September.
November.
Okay, yeah. Then I'll have another couple of movies.
Good deal. Good deal.
Yeah, for sure. So me and Cynthia watched the first season of Survivor.
Okay.
For some reason.
Okay.
We just got into it. We were like.
That's fine.
She watched a different season, and then we were like, let's go back to the beginning. So we watched the first season of Survivor, 2000, reality show Survivor. I didn't know, like, I remembered some, like, stuff about it from pop culture osmosis, but I was mostly didn't know what was going to happen, so I was like, who's going to get voted off all the time? Anyway, I only bring that up, like, I was into it. So I'm only bring that up because one of the contestants, her name's Colleen. And we later found out that she had a small role in Rob Schneider, or maybe a big role, actually, like the love interest in Rob Schneider's movie, The Animal.
Whoa.
And so I thought I better share that, too.
Yeah, that's intense.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
that's good to know.
Yeah. So if we ever have room for an extra movie, we could watch Rob Schneider's The Animal, so I can spend more time with my good friend, Colleen, who I spent, I won't tell you how long with, because that would reveal.
Oh, yeah, no spoilers.
But... I spent at least some time on the island.
Yeah.
The Survivor Island with my friend Colleen, and I kind of want to see what else she's up to.
No, yeah, that makes sense to me.
We haven't seen Rob Schneider in a while. He kind of dropped out of these movies for whatever.
Yeah, that was, you know, one disappointing thing is not seeing all of Adam Sandler's hilarious friends in this movie.
Steve Buscemi's brother was in it.
That's him? Okay.
Yeah.
I saw that guy and I was like, who is this knockoff Steve Buscemi? Why did they intentionally get somebody? Whoa. I'm sorry, Doug Buscemi. You did a great job. I don't know why they couldn't get Steve. I'm glad they got you, though. Wow.
The rabbi, the wacky rabbi, was played by Sarah Sherman. I guess she's a stand-up comedian, I think.
I could tell. She's hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. And
she I mean, just like in the Sarah movie, I thought Swarm. She was really funny and did a lot of goofy, zany things. And
oh, yeah.
She, like, insulted one of the kids. In this really, she was, like, talking about David and Bathsheba, and she's like, you never... did you would never do anything like that, would you, Aaron, who's like a 13-year-old boy? You wouldn't. do you cheat on your wife? He's like, I don't know what to say to this.
That was a good moment. She was kind of funny at it.
We've kind of been I've been kind of like trying to find the password for our email.
Oh no.
Because I didn't realize that it's not been synced to my account.
I wondered about that.
I haven't been signed in for months, so I don't actually know. I'm afraid that I have a lot of missed.
Man,
we get a lot of recommendations or requests or like spottings.
Take up our whole week.
Do you have that password by chance?
No.
Maybe in your Facebook and like a messenger chat with me from 4.5 years ago. We're just gonna
cut some of this out.
Oh, I mean, we're still at 58 minutes, which is really, really, really good.
I know, and we owe everyone 1:20.
So great. So I think we can fill it up. That. Let's try our best. I'm going to check.
If I can look at your Facebook messages.
I think you can. I'm just like not listed in there anymore, you know. Oh, this is – I hate talking about this, but I kind of – I'm a little bit off-grid, listeners. I don't have a Facebook. This was one of those things that after a lot of soul searching, decided to opt out. It was one of those things that, you miss out on a lot if you're not on Facebook, I'm sure. I don't know because I don't have one. But at the end of the day, I was missing out on the world around me. And so, I don't have a Facebook. No, I don't try to make a big deal about it. It's not something that's come up in the podcast before. But, just.
This guy, he tells me this every single time we talk. And I'm like, I it's fine. I get it. You don't have to explain it to me. And he's just like, no, let me just explain. You probably were wondering where I was when you were looking on your Facebook.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I wasn't. It's not even how it works.
I don't even remember. It's been that long. You know, it's one of those things I imagine there's not there aren't any emails in there, but if you want to send us an email, by the time we get back to you, get back to this podcast, our next episode, hopefully we'll have figured out what the password was. And that email address is the number 4 and then the letters AS and then the word podcast@gmail.com. That's 4aspodcast@gmail.com. And we'll get back to you real quick. We'll check that and respond.
Is it linked to anything? Can you do like a recovery? What happens if you try to recover it?
Yeah. I think I can recover it. But do we want to? You know, I think it's the... let sleeping dogs lie.
Oh, God.
Let me just see. I was doing this just in the interest of people listening, but I guess you can cut out what needs to be cut out. But some of this has been absolutely golden, and I would hate to lose.
I might have it.
I just sent an email to myself.
Oh, okay. Well, I might have found it.
Oh, sweet. Can you tell me in code what it is?
Do you want me to do that?
I guess you can just send it in the chat. Or you could check the email. I think it'll be easier if I check it because I'm a real whiz with Gmail. I'm in.
Dude, oh God.
Oh, okay, great. I'm glad that we took all this time. Wow. Okay, let me sift through this. Yeah, we have an email from actually just came in from Google Security Alert. New sign in on Mac.
Yes.
That's it. So it's been a minute, but it's good to get some. Yep.
All right.
All right.
Rock glad and roll, we're, baby.
Glad we're doing it.
Rock and roll.
Still on after all these years. So feels good. All right. Anything else we want to say before we wrap up now? Hit the hour mark, so we're
it's good, yeah.
Contractually
yeah.
allowed Contract. To end.
Yeah.
It stipulates must be an hour to an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
We don't care how much dead air is in there, but just let it roll for that long.
Yeah, for sure.
So we did it.
No, I think we hit it. I think we hit the
okay.
All the good.
All right. Well, so we'll have Leo out to you sooner than you would want, people. So get ready for that. And until then, hibbity dibbity.